If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Saskatchewan Rough Riders returner James Letcher Jr. joins us. And James, let's go through your CFL free agent process. First of all, did you have contract extension negotiations with the Montreal Alouettes prior to leaving?
No. Honestly, I haven't talked to them since our exit meeting. I know my agent probably had more talks to them than I did, but me personally, I didn't have a single conversation with them until I think they signed Deadman, and then one of the coaches might hit me up. But other than that, no contract talks, nothing like that. So
one thing that was surprising to me, James, to be quite honest, was the fact that you didn't dress in the 112th Grey Cup. I thought you were the most electric returner that the Alouettes had on the roster. Were you given a reason for that?
I think it was more on my end, just based off of how practice went throughout that week. You know, I was battling a hairline fracture in my right lower leg. So just that week, it was really rough for me at practice as far as not being able to finish practice and do what I was trying to do as far as showing them that I could continue to play in the Grey Cup. But honestly, if it was my choice, you know, I would have been suiting up just like anybody else who wanted to. You know, we work our whole offseason, our whole season for the Grey Cup. So if it was my choice, I would have been suiting up for sure.
So it was really mostly health related, and perhaps the fact that the Alouettes coaching staff didn't feel like you were close enough to 100% to play. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think it was more health related. They just felt like it would be a better option to go with somebody else. So
when did you suffer the hairline fracture?
I want to say it was September 16th. We played Toronto in Toronto, and it was one of the punt returns where I caught it and kind of got tripped up trying to get back on my feet, using my hand to get back up. And as I got tackled, I think I might have either got kneed in the lower leg or just rolled onto it. But after that, it was for sure, like, I was for sure in pain. I didn't know what it was, but I ended up getting an x-ray like a few days later, and it was a little fracture for sure. So I ended up playing the rest of the game. I think it was in the first quarter that it happened. So had to fight it out and finish that game. But yeah, it was Toronto.
That sounds painful, man. Can you give us the details, which leg, right or left, and which actual bone?
It was my lower right leg. It was my fibula. So it was the smaller bone in my lower right leg.
Man, it looked like you still had some juice, even though you were playing with a hairline fracture down the stretch last season. Let's look past Montreal. You'd make the decision to leave the Alouettes. You enter the negotiation window. Which teams did you talk to, James?
So I only talked to two teams. I talked to Ottawa and I talked to Saskatchewan. And I think I was really going for Ottawa, and then Saskatchewan came out of nowhere, talked to me, and they sold me. So.
And what exactly happened with Ottawa? Because there were some reports out there that said that you had actually agreed to terms there. Was that the case, or how did it play out?
Like I said, I was really headed to Ottawa. I was ready to go. And then my agent told me another team wanted to talk to me. So it was kind of crazy how that picture or whatever got leaked, or wherever it was, however it got out. I wasn't technically agreed to terms at the time, but it was like a verbal agreement, if that makes sense. Like, I was telling my agent, like, okay, this is where I want to go. And at the time, it was my only option. So I was like, okay, I mean, it's my only option. I got to go there. But whenever he told me Saskatchewan wanted to talk to me, I was trying to wait to talk to them. And that's when that picture or whatever got leaked. And I was like, hold on. I'm not official with anybody yet, so let's just make sure. And also, I didn't want to get in trouble because, once again, at the time, I wasn't released. So I wasn't sure. I wasn't 100% sure how it was going to work as far as if they post this and I'm not released. I don't know if, you know, I can agree to terms or whatever the case may be. But I found out that's like part of the open window.
That makes a lot of sense. So when did Saskatchewan jump in?
Shoot, they jumped in. I think the window might have opened the first. They jumped in at like 11 in the morning that Sunday. I was getting phone calls from Coach Mace and the special teams coach. And yeah, it was crazy. It was a crazy day because I was at church at the time and I'm getting random FaceTimes and I'm like, hold on, let me finish church. And yeah, everybody started calling me. It was kind of crazy. It was my first free agency.
What was that process like for you to go through, James, free agency in the CFL for the first time?
It was kind of crazy. I mean, like I said, it was my first time. I've never been a part of something like that, you know. Coming into the CFL, I was on Montreal's negligence, so it wasn't like I could talk to a certain amount of teams or see where I wanted to go. I had to go there. So me being able to go through free agency and see what it's like to be wanted by more than one team and see what they have to offer and talk to my family and see what they prefer I should do is crazy. But it's good to have those. Those are good options to have, you know.
It seems like you mentioned that you were leaning towards going to Ottawa. So how did the Rough Riders pull you all the way in to sign on the dotted line?
I don't want to be bland about it, but I think it was just a better offer as far as money. You know, like I said, both of the teams were saying the same things as far as my position on the team and what I was going to do and what they wanted for me. And the money was a little bit better. So I was like, I can't say no to this.
That makes it pretty simple. And in terms of what was offered to you from a playing perspective, from what I've heard, teams were looking at you as a returner and also a guy that can come in and make an impact as a receiver. And I don't think a lot of people know enough, James, but you had a 1,000-yard season when you were at Washburn in college in 2022 as a senior while you were returning kicks as well. So you are a proven receiver. How much did that opportunity in Saskatchewan factor into you going to the Riders?
A lot. You know, my biggest thing the past few years in Montreal was I wanted to get more involved in offense. Obviously, I'm special at returner, but I know that I'm more than a returner. So, and Montreal, man, those are my guys, man. I'll never not like them. You know, I was there for 3 years, so I built a lot of bonds and trust with them. But, you know, they got a lot of guys. And at the time they had Tyler Snead, Phil Pott, Austin Mack, and K-On at one point, you know, it was a bunch of guys that it's kind of hard to compete with. And then Saskatchewan, I know they still got some guys over there as well, but it's a little more open ground as far as they're going to let me compete for it. You know, with Montreal, they was like, oh, you're special at returner and we don't want you to get hurt. We want you to be our guy. You know, we want you to be here and be available for us. But as you can see, this past year, I ended up getting hurt on special teams. So it's like, it doesn't matter where I'm at on the field. You know, there's always a chance you could get hurt. So I'd rather be able to get hurt doing everything I can do on the field as far as just only being able to do one thing.
So the money was better in Saskatchewan. It seems like the opportunity to play receiver potentially is better in Saskatchewan. And you mentioned earlier that Corey Mace was FaceTiming you while you were in church. Who did you hear from on the Riders coaching staff and front office that were recruiting you to go there?
So I talked to Coach Mace. He was, like I said, he FaceTimed me. So obviously he showed me the nice facility they had. Talked to the special teams coach during that time. And Trevor Harris ended up calling me before I made that decision just to, you know, check in. And he heard that I was on their list, and he heard I was a target. So he wanted to at least reach out and see what he could do or see what he could say to get me over there. And I think it helped, you know, having their quarterback hit me up and say he wants you on the team and wants you to get involved on offense is for sure big to me.
How big of an impact was that, that Trevor Harris took the time, reigning Grey Cup champion quarterback, reigning Grey Cup MVP, to call James Letcher Jr. and recruit him to Saskatchewan?
I mean, it means a lot. You know, he played in Montreal back in the day, so a few of the guys that's on the Montreal team know about him, but just to have him call and reach out is huge. You know, it means he's thinking about me, and he knows what I could do as a player on the field, and he would love to have me on the team, and I'd love to play with him for sure.
And it could potentially be in that receiving group as well. James, at Three Down Nation, we've done some projected depth charts after CFL free agency, and to your point about the receiver group there, it seems like there could be a starting spot open as an American at one of the receiver positions. Is that how you envision 2026 going for you, being the primary return man for Saskatchewan and also a starting receiver?
Like I said, if that's my option, I'd love to do it. If they want me to do both, I'm down to do both. Like I said, I've been doing that my whole life, so that's nothing new to me. If they want me to strictly be on offense and do a little bit of special team, I'll do that too. But I don't only want to do returning. You know what I'm saying? I don't only want to do special. So I'm definitely looking to do both. If I could be the starter on both, that'll be perfect for me. You know what I'm saying? I know we'll have a good rotation where I won't be super fatigued, you know, so I'm excited.
You did both in the NCAA at Washburn University. In 48 games, you recorded 228 receptions for 2,992 yards and 29 touchdowns, and also returned 68 kickoffs for 1,678 yards and 3 touchdowns, plus returned 49 punts for 611 yards and 2 scores. Man, how were you able to put up those kind of video game type numbers?
Man, you know, the guy, like I like to shout out all my guys that get me in the end zone. And Washburn definitely had the guys that, you know, it was another brotherhood as well, where they're blocking their tails off for me, trying to get me there. And although I might get the stats, but I don't do it by myself, you know. And I had a few touchdowns that got called back in previous years as far as being in CFL. And I had quite a few in college as well that aren't on the stat sheet. But no, those guys definitely look out for me. So I don't know. I mean, it's probably the training that I do in Kansas City. You know, we always get overlooked. And I bust my tail every time I'm at home. So I got to show my parents that I still want it, and everybody else wants me and don't want me, you know.
How do you train specifically to be able to produce the way that you do?
Man, I do a little bit of everything. I've been, it's a quote that I've heard from songs and people, but it's to get what you have, you have to do something you've never done. And I haven't really necessarily worked out more than once a day. I usually, as far as weight training, I'll go to the gym, do some weightlifting, whatever, do some sprints on the treadmill, whatever case may be, and then go to the field and run some routes and do some drills. But this offseason, I've done a little more of 2 weight sessions a day on certain days, and then going to the field whenever it's a good weather day outside. It's been rainy and a little cold this week in Kansas City. You never know what the weather's going to be like down here, but a little more weight training and a little more speed work and getting my body healthy, man. It was a rough year last year, so I'm just trying to make sure I can stay as healthy as possible.
Do you feel like you're back to 100% health after you said a rough year in the hairline fracture in your lower leg?
Yeah, I'm feeling great. I haven't felt this great in a while, so yeah, I'm feeling pretty.
James, when did you first hear about the Canadian Football League?
I think maybe my senior year in 22. I feel like maybe a Ticat coach came to one of the practices and talked to me. That might have been the first time I heard about it, but I kind of brushed it off, you know, because growing up in the States, you know, all we think about is the NFL. If you don't make it to the NFL, you're not going to make it anywhere, I guess. So that was the first time I thought about it. And then I went to a CGS Bowl after my senior year, and I talked to Coach B from Montreal at the CGS game, and they might have put me on the neg list around then. I'm not sure, but that's when it got a little more serious to me as far as the CFL as an option. And then going through the pro day and not putting up the numbers I wanted to put up, it was like, yeah, it's CFL time. So
the CGS is the College Gridiron Showcase. And when you say Coach B, are you talking about Byron Archambault?
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense that they probably would have neglisted you after that. You go on to be Montreal's nominee for the Most Outstanding Special Teams Player Award in 2024 after recording over 1,100 kickoff return yards and 924 punt return yards. You led the league in combined return yards and scored two touchdowns that year, one on a punt return and one on a missed field goal return. How were you able, James, to translate your game from Washburn to being a really high-quality returner in the CFL?
My first rule is making sure I catch the ball. You know, as soon as I catch the ball and the ball's in my hands, I do what I've been doing all my life, you know, making people miss and following blocks and reading the guys who are trying to get me to the end zone. And without them, once again, I wouldn't be anything. But yeah, like I said, I've been doing it my whole life. So it's kind of like second nature to me. You know, I played running back in high school. So reading blocks and making sure if the guy's blocking this way, I try to run off of his butt and make the block easier for him, or I'll set it up to where the defender might go this way and I cut it back to my guy who's blocking him, or whatever case may be. I try to do that and help me get as many yards as I can and follow my guys and run as fast as I can. Because once again, I don't like getting tackled. You know, I'm a little guy, a little smaller than most people in the league or any league, you know, so getting tackled ain't fun. I don't want to get tackled. I try to, you know, either make people miss or get what I can and get out of bounds or whatever the case may be. So I usually like scoring. If I can score, that'd be the best part.
You're checking in at about 5'7" and 180 pounds, at least according to the roster, and you're a speedster, of course, as you alluded to. Yeah. Is that kind of the weight range that you like to play at, is 180?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I come to camp around 180. And usually during camp, we lose a little bit of weight just as much as we like practice and run around and whatnot. So I'm trying to come into camp a little more so I can probably stay around 180. Usually I'm like 175, a little more, a little less. But if I could stay around 180 and keep building that explosiveness, I might be able to run a few people over. I don't know.
Rider Nation will definitely like to see that. And on that note, James, what have you heard about playing in Saskatchewan with the passionate Rough Rider fans?
I heard it's a small town, but it's a football town. You know, coming from Washburn, D2, and Trevor Harris said something about, he's a D2 guy as well. He was like, they love football, and, you know, if you do what you're supposed to, they're going to love you too. So I'm excited to play for them. I actually talked to Trevor Harris's son whenever he called me, and he was like, come score some touchdowns for us. And I don't want to score them no more. It's time to start scoring with them. I'm excited. I'm ready.
Did you get to know at least a little bit about the Rough Riders throughout Grey Cup week and then seeing how they played on the field in terms of perhaps your want to play for that team if you got to free agency?
At the time, I wasn't really thinking about it like that. I was more thinking about my health and seeing if I could go. You know, so I was trying to do as much as I could to make it on that day. So I can't really say that I was thinking about, as far as the other team like that, is me being in their colors and their shoes and running down the field with them. But after the season, I got to thinking, and when free agency opened up, I was thinking a lot more with it. And Coach Macy is a coach I could definitely play for.
Do you have any connections to the Saskatchewan coaching staff, front office, or players on the team from your career prior in football?
Couple of guys I know Stryker, we worked out together a little bit last year in Arizona. Sauce, I know his little brother. We went to school together back in high school, so it's a few connections there. Kerf, I want to say he played in Montreal for a little bit. So it's a couple of guys here and there that I know, but not too many. So it's gonna be new for the most part.
I'll get you out on this, James. For the Rough Riders fans who maybe didn't pay close attention to the Montreal Alouettes, what kind of player is Rider Nation getting?
Somebody who wants it, somebody who got a lot to prove. You know, once again, I'm not the biggest guy in the world. I'm for sure one of the smallest you're going to see around town, around the football field. But I always play with that chip on my shoulder. And once again, I got hurt a lot last year, so I got a lot to prove, and I'm ready to show everybody why they shouldn't have let me go, and why they should have asked to get me on their team like Saskatchewan. So, like I said, I'm excited. I'm ready to go. I've been working my tail off all off season, and everybody's gonna see June 6th to the rest of the season. Hopefully, get to the Grey Cup again and do what they did last year. So,
well said, James. Thank you so much for the time.
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate it.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.